This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad.
I'd like to welcome you all here today to celebrate the transfiguration of our Lord. For those watching at home, we're using Divine Service 1 from the Lutheran Service Book, hymns number 417, 414, 415, 613, and 821. Today, as we're bidding farewell to the Hallelujahs, every time we sing Hallelujah, please ring your bell as we go through, and then we will put those away at the end of the service. We'll begin on page 3 with confession and absolution, followed by the sharing of peace and the procession of King. Let us rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us kneel and be seated with the confession of sin. Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let us rise and face the center off and share it with you. The light from the sun, the peace of the Lord be with you always, and the pulpit itself, the peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Thank you.
Let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Chapter 34. And we read in Moses' writing here of his second coming down from his visit with God on Mount Sinai. Moses was returning with the second set of tablets that God had written the Ten Commandments on, the first being broken in anger by Moses when he came down and saw the Israelites with the golden calf. And here we read specifically of Moses' appearance for being in the presence of God. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, and behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the people of Israel came near, and he commanded them all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. Whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would remove the veil until he came out. And when he came out, he told the people of Israel what he was commanding. The people of Israel would see the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face was shining. And Moses would put the veil over his face again until he went in to speak with him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We rise for the singing of the Alleluia verse.
Suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, he charged them to tell no one what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated for the children's message.
Jesus. Man, we hear about this veil being removed when Moses went up and talked five, they put together five and five, two 30-foot sections. So could you imagine a curtain from the back of the church up to the altar? It would separate the lectern from the pulpit in here. And that's what, in the Old Testament, we have the separation of God and the people. But we have the veil removed. When Jesus died, that was the significance of that curtain being torn in two. The veil was torn. Jesus' flesh is referred to as a veil, too. It was torn in two because, just like we are today, just like we can any day, any place, any time, we can go to who? God. That's right, God. Oh, no, avoid my contact. But I know his name, so he's out of love. Right? God, we have God's presence available to us every day. We hear his word right in our ears. We can receive his body and blood right into our hearts. And we can share and reflect that same presence that Moses reflected with his face shining. We are to imitate God. So I'm going to close with a reading from Hebrews, and this should sound familiar to the veil that we have removed. Hebrews 10, it says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtains, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." Amen.
We continue with the sermon hymn, Jesus on the Mountain Peak, on page 10.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Who is Jesus? Jesus' identity and purpose is unveiled for us in the Bible. The New Testament unveiling begins when the angel Gabriel announces to Mary, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And at Christmas it continues. Angels announce to the shepherds, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." The mysterious magi from the east follow the star to worship the one born King of the Jews, as Jesus' identity is further clarified. At Jesus' baptism, the heavens are torn open. The Holy Spirit descends on Jesus like a dove, and the voice of God the Father speaks, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." Throughout the Epiphany season, we see Jesus slowly pulling back the veil to show more and more of who he really is. He heals, he drives out unclean spirits, he preaches, he teaches, he takes authority over the wind and the sea, he raises a girl from the dead, he feeds thousands with barely enough food for a few people. Jesus is revealing who he is. But most of the people, even his disciples, do not fully understand what Jesus has come to do, despite Jesus telling them what will happen. In Mark 8, "And Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly." Jesus tells the disciples what is going to happen, but they don't like what they're hearing, and Peter rebukes Jesus. And so Jesus rebukes Peter. And after 6 days, Jesus takes Peter and James and John up on the mountain, and he's transfigured before them. Jesus shines with the unveiled glory of God. Moses and Elijah are present with Jesus to show that Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament law and prophets. A cloud envelops them, and the voice of the Father speaks, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is God in flesh. There on the Mount of Transfiguration, the veil is further pulled back to reveal who Jesus is. But still, the disciples struggle. Soon after the Transfiguration shows the glory of God in Jesus, the disciples are arguing amongst themselves about which one of them is the greatest. The people, the disciples, have a veil over their hearts so they do not see the glory of God in Jesus. As we heard in our Old Testament lesson today from Exodus, when Moses' face glows after speaking with God, the people are afraid, and Moses veils his face. What are the people afraid of? They are afraid of the glory of God because they have the law of God and they know they cannot keep it. They cannot bear the glory of God because God is holy and they are not. At Jesus' time and still today, there are so many who still have veils over their hearts. They do not believe the good news of forgiveness in Jesus. They only see the law of God and they know they cannot keep it. 2 Corinthians 4. "In their case, the God of this world has blinded the mind of the unbeliever to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." The devil keeps them veiled So they do not understand who Jesus really is and what he has done for them. And so instead of finding joy in Jesus' forgiveness, instead of believing God's law and God's gospel, they reject Jesus in many different ways. Some just want nothing to do with God because they cannot be good enough, so they live as if there were no God. Some repeat Satan's words from the garden like a mantra. Did God really say? Did God really say? As they reimagine God in their own image. And they rewrite the law of God to fit their own understandings. They just cross out the parts of the Bible they don't like, so they think they are following God's law. They continue to rewrite God's commands to conform to the ever-changing ethics of the world. Others double down on the law. They preach and teach about how you can work your way to heaven by doing the right things. Some turn Christianity into a self-help program and preach how you can be successful if you just try harder, if you just do better. Some start to believe that any way to God is a good way, and it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. For so many, the gospel remains veiled. And they remain outside of salvation. At the Transfiguration, Jesus' true identity and purpose is further unveiled. But the full unveiling does not come until Jesus has gone to Jerusalem to be crucified. That dark Friday, it seems that the Old Testament veil is strengthened. And yet, at the moment of Jesus' death, the curtain in the temple is torn in two from top to bottom. The veil is lifted. The truth about Jesus is revealed. This becomes ever more clear on that Sunday morning as Jesus rises from the dead. He appears to the women at the tomb and the 12 disciples and then hundreds of others. The truth is completely unveiled. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is God incarnate, God in flesh. Christ has died for the sins of the world, and death could not hold him. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. You have the unveiled truth of Jesus. You know that Jesus died for you and forgives you all your sins. You know that Jesus was risen from the dead and promises to raise you from the dead on the last day. You know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold. Like St. Paul, we are under divine obligation to speak the truth of God's saving promises in Jesus boldly and clearly. We proclaim God's law and God's gospel amidst a permissive, relativistic society that calls good evil and evil good. We call sin, sin. We call evil, evil. We call good, good. We confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. And we boldly proclaim that Jesus is the antidote to God's judgment on sin. We boldly teach that Christianity is the only saving faith. There are many religions, but there is one saving faith. There is no other way. We teach that you are saved not by this politician or that politician. The government cannot save you. You're not saved by following a strict diet and exercise plan. You're not saved by mystical experiences. You are not saved by lessening the severity of God's law. You are not saved by pretending that you are good enough. You are saved by Jesus' suffering and death on the cross, taking the punishment for your sins. You are saved by baptism in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You are saved by Jesus' words, I forgive you all your sins. You are saved by the body and blood of Jesus given and shed for you.
The devil, the world, and your own sinful flesh desperately want you to believe that you can be saved by something other than Jesus. Something else. Anything else. Something that you can do. But it's a lie. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. We boldly proclaim this truth in a world where people's minds are hardened and their hearts are veiled. Boldly teaching the truth of God's word will not make your life easier. Being a member of a church that believes, teaches, and confesses the Bible is true can get you canceled. Canceled from your job, from friends, from opportunities. When people find out that you do not celebrate the latest sexual innovation, you will be viewed as a hateful bigot, and you will be rejected by those in sync with the cultural elite. When people find out you believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven, you'll be called intolerant and rabidly exclusive, even as you believe, teach, and confess that Jesus died for all people and the gift of forgiveness of sins and eternal life is offered to everyone. On this, the 14th day of February, we remember St. Valentine, whose history is admittedly pretty murky. It's thought he was a priest that was beheaded around 270 AD for performing Christian marriages in opposition to the orders of Roman Emperor Claudius II. Valentine did what God commanded instead of what the emperor commanded, and it cost him his head. There have been many Christians, many, many Christians over the centuries that have lost their lives because they taught the truth about Jesus. Boldly teaching the truth about Jesus is what we are called to do. It brings the saving word of God to the world, but it can get you rejected, canceled, abused, and even killed. Despite the danger, we are called by God to continue to proclaim the unveiled truth. Do not lose heart. As Peter, James, and John saw in the radiance on the Mount of Transfiguration, and even more clearly at Calvary in the empty tomb in the upper room, Jesus is God in flesh. Jesus did die for your sins. Jesus did rise from the dead. Jesus died and rose for you. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. And now may the peace of God, the peace that is beyond understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord Jesus returns in glory. Amen. We rise to confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. In our prayers today, Member Dick Tendon will continue rehabilitation. Carolyn Ott undergoing chemotherapy. Donna Freeman, who's undergoing radiation therapy for skin cancer. For George, Sean Fleming's cousin has Parkinson's, is hospitalized with COVID. For Danny Hughes, who's Selmeyer's daughter, hospitalized with an infection. For Candy Templin, who has medical issues. Andrea Benson, who has broken a leg. For Pam Camden, her family, the death of her father, John Hinks. And for Michelle Rand, her family, the death of her father, Jim Edmondson. Heavenly Father, reveal your glory in the transfiguration of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who tabernacled among us in the flesh. Open our eyes of faith that we would see him continuing to tabernacle among us here in the divine service, that we would heed your admonition to listen to him as he forgives and preserves us at the font, pulpit, and altar. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Holy Father, the appearance of Moses and Elijah in our Lord's glorious transfiguration, you revealed to us that all the law and the prophets are fulfilled in him. Send your blessing upon all pastors and servants of your church, that all their preaching and teaching would flow from the right understanding that all Holy Scripture testifies of Christ and all that he has done and continues to do for our eternal salvation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious Father, from whom every fatherhood under heaven is named, support and bless every Christian home, that husbands and wives would be devoted to one another, and parents would pass on the faith to their children by word and deed. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty Father, you alone establish all authority on earth. Bless those entrusted with this responsibility, both here and abroad, that they would serve with integrity and honor and for the well-being of all. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Father, graciously comfort and strengthen those who are sick, hospitalized, enduring ongoing treatment or mourning, especially Dick, Carolyn, Don, George, Deanna, Candy, Andrea, John's family, and Jim's family, that they would know your peace and receive healing and relief according to your gracious will. Be with those who are lonely, depressed, or mentally ill. Surround them with those who know your redeeming love and who will mercifully care for them. Grant steadfastness to those near death, comfort to those who grieve, and the sure and certain hope of the resurrection to all your children. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, how lovely is the dwelling place of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who gives us sinners to eat and to drink of his flesh and blood here at the holy altar. Grant to all who come to this feast today repentant and believing hearts, that in the blessed sacrament they would receive forgiveness, life, and salvation, and be strengthened in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember on this day the glorious manifestation of your Son's divinity on the Mount of Transfiguration. Teach us to listen to Jesus and ever fix our eyes on him and his innocent suffering and death for our forgiveness. By your grace and mercy, strengthen us for being faithful in all circumstances of trial, temptation, and persecution. Preserve us to the end that we may die a blessed death, believing in your beloved Son, with whom you are well pleased. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who at his transfiguration revealed his glory to his disciples, that he might be strengthened to proclaim his cross and resurrection, and with all the faithful look forward to the glory of life everlasting. Therefore, the angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us to do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, also took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Christ strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. Bless you.